Good morning.
Morning.
Blessing to be here. It was a blessing to travel recently and see Audrey and Joshua and their family and Zach and Brigida Smith. And we had some nice time visiting all those people. And the Lord was very gracious, and our big old van didn't have any issues. So thanks for all the prayers. And also, thank you for prayers for my folks. My dad, I brought him home yesterday from the hospital. A little bit of fear and trepidation and all of that, wondering how things would go. And I stayed for the first night, and it was fine. He's so far so good. He has more stuff coming up Tuesday that could leave him feeling drained. So keep him in prayer. Keep all of us in prayer, because it's been a little bit of a juggle to try to make this whole picture be as smooth as it can be under the circumstances. But they're very, very thankful to all be together. So that's a blessing. I'd like to pause for a moment of prayer before looking into the message. Dear Lord, thank you that we can be here today and look into your word. Thank you for things that were already shared. And Lord, how your word builds on other parts of your word and all works together and speaks to so many things that are connected in our lives. Just bless us today that we could come away from this place strengthened and rejoicing in you. Work in our lives what's needful to help us to grow into a deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, the message is on our lives, deep or shallow. And, you know, in life, we can approach things different ways, and we get different results. And there can be people that are exposed to the word, but they only drink it in so far, and they only let it affect their lives so much, so deep. And you get what you put into it. If you dig deep and you get roots in the things of the word, you are blessed. If we don't dig very deep, well, we get what we invest in. So I'd like to start with John chapter 4. And this is the chapter that relates to the woman at the well. And we see Jesus asking of her for something to drink. And we know where it goes from there, but we're going to read over this. And I'd like to comment on some verses. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. I'm going to stop right there. That's the portion that I want to look at. And I think that when Jesus was sitting there, wearied with his journey, he probably was thirsty. But I think that when he asked this, when he asked for a drink, obviously there was more in mind, because very quickly the drink got put aside. And he mentioned that if you knew who was speaking to you, you'd be asking for a soul-relieving drink. In other words, for living water. When we have relations to people, when we have interactions with people, do we find that we are looking for, hoping for, opportunity to take this conversation and go somewhere deeper than meeting those temporal needs that, or those needs that we have, but that are not things that have eternal consequence? You know, if Jesus stayed thirsty for the rest of the day, he was not going to die from it. And right now, he saw opportunity to speak to someone and to take this platform and say something. And soon it turned into something very deep. He starts asking for a drink. Next, by verse 24, he's telling her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How did he get there? How are our lives and our interactions with people? Are we bringing things around to talk to people about the love of the Lord? Talk about something that's deeper. Meanwhile, the disciples thought he should be eating something, and he said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Did somebody bring him something? Did somebody give him something? No. He says, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that is a focused life. That is that depth that I'm speaking of. Something that is fulfilling, something that was filling him up right then, more than food would have. He wasn't focused on the fact that maybe he was hungry and he was thirsty, he had a vision. He had a purpose. We need to maintain our vision and our purpose, even as we take of those things that we do need to keep this body alive. And we can enjoy them too. But if we have to set them aside at some point to minister to a need, we need to remember where the true meat of things is. It's not in filling our desires and making us feel good. It's in things that are deeper than that, more eternal, or that are eternal. Another thought, are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Do we have thirst-quenching water to give? Do we have something to offer? Do we have the truth of Jesus Christ to present to people that they may not ask of us? You know, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What does it mean to be a Christian? Doesn't it mean to be a follower of Christ, or even like little Christs in a sense? What do we present to the world? And do we have thirst-quenching water to give? How are we doing in preferring God's work to feeding the flesh? You know, that goes hard sometimes. You know, it's like there's so many times where it's just so easy to make the choice that's just makes it easier, just makes us feel good, instead of doing the thing that is more important. But in the long run, we feel much more fulfilled, much more like we are blessed when we do carry out those things that God would have us to do. What if, and we can turn to 2 Chronicles 24, our goodness or following of God hinged on Mark Brubaker or Emmanuel or Melvin or Randy or someone else? What if our relationship with God was based on somebody else other than God, other than Jesus Christ and the things that he has for us? Then where are we when something happens to them? Or where are we if they fail? So in 2 Chronicles 24, we see Joash at 7 years old, beginning to reign, and he did well as long as Jehoiada was alive. His goodness was tied up in Jehoiada. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. It's pretty easy to do when Jehoiada's there and, you know, confirming and all of those things. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. Sounds pretty good. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it, and when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. I don't think I need to read any further there to see that it looks like all the days of Jehoiada, Joash had done well. Are we to where if someone comes along after our mentor's passing, that we will be swayed? Or are we grounded? Do we have something of depth that we can draw from God's word, draw from those things that we have already purposed to take in and make a part of our lives, not something that we're leaning on from somebody else's life? It's got to be our relationship with God needs to be our relationship with God, a deep, clear, true relationship that is fulfilling. It's so easy to have things bound up in something else or somebody else. And then's when we find that if hard times come, we're shallow. We don't have it. So we need to think about that and make sure our lives have depth. In Philippians 3, verses 13 to 21, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So we see a reaching forth. We see a pressing in, a pressing toward the mark. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded," having our minds where they need to be. "And if in anything else, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We need to have our lives be full of purpose, full of the things of God, our minds, our hearts, our desires, our walk. I'd like to look at Hebrews 11. We know that verse 6 where it talks about without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's a go-to verse. That's a thing that we need to remind ourselves of. God is not a rewarder of those who seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There needs to be something beyond the flare prayer, something beyond the shallow, and something that's deep, something that's real, something that, even when God doesn't seem to be answering, keeps knocking, because God heard us the first time. If we come in faith, God is listening. He is awake. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Wow! We don't like to do that. We don't like to go out not knowing where we're going. It's not our nature. It's not something that's going to happen in a shallow relationship with God. If we're going to obey God and go because we know it's him asking, but we don't even know yet what that looks like and what that means, then we've got depth. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That spoke to me. I looked at that and I'm like, wait, when we look at a building, a physical, tangible building that we can see, we can then see foundations. He was looking for a city that had foundations that were of more consequence. He was seeing something in his mind's eye, if I see it, if I'm understanding correctly, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for something that was not just going to crumble after 1,200 years or however long it takes some of these foundations to crumble. He was looking for something that really had foundations, that was really secure. Wow. Is that where we are? Are we basing what we do on looking at things that are in the future that we can't put our hand on yet? We can't see around the corner. Things that God is going to do, things that God has promised, and grasping them because they have foundations. They have foundations. His word is true. And if God said it, you can look by faith, like Abraham did, for a city that has foundations, one that is worth building on, being in, whose builder and maker is God. I'd like to read some verses from my Thompson Chain Reference Bible here, number 1088 in the back. If somebody happens to have that and wants to follow along, they can. And this is examples of half-heartedness. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. What a very shallow thing. So here, somebody could be king of Israel or king of whatever, and not be doing these things with a right heart before the Lord, or not with all of their heart. And it's shallow. And he said, this is now 2 Kings 13, 18, speaking of Joash, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Seems like maybe there was a little more communicated that we didn't get in that verse. I don't know if he said, you know, show us what you can do, strike upon the ground, you know. But he wasn't very, the result was the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldst have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. You know, when we do something for God, is there zeal behind it? Do we do it, you know, maybe even more than what we thought we could get away with or we needed to? Or we, you know, here, when the man of God had told him to smite upon the ground, he did it 3 times. Well, it sounds like he could have just done it once and he would have smitten upon the ground. But there was probably some understanding, something there, where maybe he should have known. Anyway, we read it, we know. There's times when we should be really beating that ground. There's things to do. And God says something, or one of God's followers speaks to us with something from God, and we need to dig right in. Do it. Jehoshaphat's subjects. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 33. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. It's like they were playing games. They hadn't prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. There were still things set up to make it easy if they decided to slip again into their old habits, or maybe they still had their old habits. We don't have to rebuild those high places. They're right there. Kind of like burying one's idols instead of breaking them in pieces. You can dig them up. We don't want stuff where we can dig it up. We want to deal with it. We want to have it done. We want to have the zeal of the Lord of hosts in our lives. For the Lord of hosts. Amaziah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Sounds good. But then it says, but not with a perfect heart. Wow. Judah, in, I guess this is Jeremiah, J.E. 3:10. And yet for all this treacherous, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Something of pretense. God forbid. And of Israel in Hosea 10:2, their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. What do we do in our lives? Do we give 100%? Or do we give only some to the Lord of our lives and keep some so that we can have some fun, so that we can do the things that life's all about? Wait, what is life all about? It's about doing the things that God put us here for that are of eternal consequence. Does God want us to have joy and even a good time? Yeah, I think he does. But I think some of the deepest joy and some of the best times are when we know that we are fulfilling what God wants us to do. We feel blessed. We feel like it's worth it. It's getting something. Something's happening that's good. Something's happening that's just a blessing. I'd like to look at Haggai 1. It's a little hard to find. It's right after Zephaniah and before Zechariah. And I'd like to start in verse 3 and read through verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Just stop and think. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. So the things that you're trying to accomplish aren't happening. Then again, verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think. In other words, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit, and I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. You know, we can change. There's hope when we've messed up, our lives haven't been everything they could have been. God says, consider your ways. And here, these people, there were people that did obey, that did fear before the Lord. That's what God wants to see in our walk. He wants to see us be able to not focus on all the times that, well, I guess my life's been a failure, and look back and see all the times when should have done something different. Maybe we're 10, maybe we're 30, maybe we're 50. Maybe we're 70. It doesn't matter where we are. We can look and think, oh boy, already have a bad track record. Consider your ways. Stop, obey, and fear the Lord, and be blessed. You can still have depth in our, we can still have depth in our lives. I'd like to also look at Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. Very familiar passage, the parable of the sower. What are we going to get out of it today? It's a rich passage. It's a lot. There's a lot there. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Do we have a wayside life? Do we have something where we have heard, but there's not much depth there? Maybe we didn't understand, and next thing you know, it's what we've heard has been choked and it's gone. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Wow. So there's some joy, and yet no depth. There's nothing there to feed. You know, a lot of people, they appreciate a certain amount of the truth as long as it doesn't have to impact their lives. As long as I don't have to do anything, I don't mind if you walk in the truth, they might think, you know. They even recognize it. They even appreciate it as long as it doesn't have to impact their lives. when something comes up that's a challenge, doesn't take long, you know what? It's good for you. I'm moving on. And by and by, they're offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Just things that come along that make it hard if we don't have depth, if we don't have something that's been nurtured, that's been fed, that's been watered. Something comes along, it looks good, chokes out the more important things. Next thing you know, the more important things aren't really there anymore. But now we get to the good verse. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You know, I like to think that we don't judge others who might be bringing 30 if we happen to be bringing forth 60. Or that we don't judge others who are bringing forth 60-fold if we might be bringing forth 100-fold. Or that we don't think less of ourselves if we feel like we're only bringing 30, but we're doing all we can, all we know to do. Live. Live with a good heart. Do what you can do. Don't count. Don't keep score. Don't compare with others. Do what God is asking you to do with a wholeheartedness and be blessed. That's what's on my heart. I have a little more to share, but that's the gist of it right there. Just have that ground be something that we're enriching, working on getting more productive lives, listening, learning from others, feeding on good things, investment of time, energy, resources. You know, when we're shallow, we can hear something good and feel holy as we say, I like it, sounds good, but we don't have what it means to continue when the challenges come. Our walk is only as worthy as it lines up with God's word. If it lines up with God's word and his plan for our lives, then we're doing something right. Hard to lose out completely when the roots are deep. You know, when a garden is watered often in shallow waterings, what happens to the roots? They don't go very deep, do they? They don't need to. So then, if you would go away on a trip, everything's looked good, and it gets dry for just a few days, there isn't much there. But if we have a depth there, there's something to carry when those few days come, and something comes that would shake us. Hard to lose out completely when the roots are deep. Let's be rooted and grounded in the things of the Lord. So, what is good fertilizer for our lives that will deepen and enrich our walk and experience in Christ? Could I have a list of things that will make our Christian walk meaningful and fulfilling and fruitful? What comes to your mind when you think about those things? A list of things that will make our Christian walk meaningful, fulfilling, and fruitful. Make it deep. Love for others. Yes. Wow, I didn't know with bifocals, I think this is a problem. Wow, that's interesting. I'll do the best I can. All right. What else? course, that goes pretty far. Love for others probably embodies a lot of the other things that we could put up here.
Focus on God.
Focus. Yeah, that's good. Focus on God. All right. So let's get as deep as we can. We want to have a lot of roots. So let's think of different facets of things so we can have those tendrils or whatever you call the little things that go out from the main roots. You know, we want to have it all. What else is to put up here? Oh, yes. All right. What else? I think that fellowship with people that are in a love relationship with Christ is very important. So fellowship with deep people, you know, how do you say it? Learn how to write here. There we go. All right. Another thing that I thought of, and please interject as you have thoughts, is treasuring the end of our faith. What is the end of our faith? What's the word say? The end of your faith, which is the... I think that's a quote. Salvation of your souls. Does that sound right? Yeah. Treasuring. Salvation. Amen. Diligence. So, what do you think? Is prayer important? It sure is. Prayer is a two-way communication, isn't it? We want to talk to God, and we want to listen. We want to hear as we pray. I think that another thing that comes to my mind, we won't be able to fit them all on here, but reading books about some of those saints like George Mueller and others that, you know, had a deep faith, basically, focusing on the lives of others that have done well, gone before us. Maybe I have that included in something. I don't think so, but so reading of victorious people. people. Well, I might stop writing them down, but I'd also like to just read a little more that's on my list here. And that would be praising and worshiping God in song, and submission and obedience, something that really deepens our walk. If we, you know, it's not easy to get to the point where it becomes easier to submit and to be obedient and be everything that we need to be. But it does really help us in our ground, our relationship with God, our ability to take in those things He has for us and to be fruitful. Giving is important. Humility and being teachable as well. And I would like to close with a verse in 1 Peter, a couple verses, 1 Peter 3. And normally we look at these verses and it speaks to the women's adorning, let it not be. But today I want to look at it differently because this verse applies to all of us. And I want to take verse 3 and just take the who's adorning, and then jump into verse 4 where it says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. So instead of focusing on one part of humanity, I'd like us all to think of what the gist of this really is that our adorning needs to be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A meek and quiet spirit is for everybody. It is for all of us. We need to have that. And if we have that, God says, that's of great price. Wow. Those things that mean, that are actually something that God put His stamp on and says, wow, that's of value. What a blessing. So those are my thoughts to share with you today, just encouraging that we think about our lives as to whether they're deep, whether they're shallow. If they are shallow, then start to go in the right direction. It doesn't all happen all of a sudden. You go from being shallow to being very deep, but it takes enriching the soil of your life. May God bless.